I invite you to turn your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 52 as we continue to make our way along in this wonderful, wonderful book. And I got good news. I'm starting to see the light at the end of the tunnel. I'm starting to get a plan for the end here. So hang in there. But I've loved this. This has been very, very special to me. Get an appreciation for this book. So in Isaiah 52, the people, as you may have recalled by now, they have been captives in Babylon. They've been taken away from their homeland, some 900 miles away in Babylon in exile. And it's been a number of years, but they have heard the promise from Isaiah and from God through Isaiah that they are going to go home. This isn't their final lot. They're going to go home to Jerusalem. And Isaiah has been hinting that it's going to kind of be soon. It's going to be soon. And so he wants people thinking in that direction. Okay? And so let's read a couple verses here. First 12 verses, Isaiah 52. Let's pray before we jump into it, okay? Father, we thank you for your word that you have preserved for us all these years, that we hold up and we regard highly because it is one of the things that points us to you in your direction. It reveals things about ourselves. It reveals things about you. It tells us what we can do to get right with you. And so, Lord, as we open up your word today, we pray that you would, I do already think you're going to speak to us. Lord, we want to be open to listen, and it's not necessarily my words. You will speak to us through your spirit. And so, Lord, we pray that we put distractions away and that we would focus on you and your love for us and your guidance for us in your word. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Isaiah 52, let's start in verse 1. here's how we begin. Awake, awake, Zion. Clothe yourself with strength. Put on your garments of splendor, Jerusalem, the holy city. The uncircumcised and defiled will not enter you again. Shake off your dust, rise up, sit enthroned, Jerusalem. Free yourself from the chains on your neck, daughter Zion, now a captive. For this is what the Lord says. You were sold for nothing, and without money you will be redeemed. For this is what the sovereign Lord says. At first, my people went down to Egypt to live. Lately, Assyria has oppressed them. And now, what do I have here? Declares the Lord. For my people have been taken away for nothing, and those who rule them mock, declares the Lord. And all day long my name is constantly blasphemed. Therefore my people will know my name, and therefore in that day they will know that it is I who foretold it. Yes, it is I. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. Listen, your watchmen lift up their voices. Together they shout for joy. When the Lord returns to Zion, they will see it with their own eyes. Burst into songs of joy together, you ruins of Jerusalem, for the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord will lay bare his holy arm in the sight of all the all the nations, and all the ends of the earth will see the salvation of our God. Now here are the final instructions. Verse 11. Depart, depart, go out from there, touch no unclean thing. Come out from it and be pure, you who carry the articles of the Lord's house, but you will not leave in haste or go in flight. For the Lord will go before you, the God of Israel will be your rear guard. Now, one of the things I'd said before is that this whole book of Isaiah is quoted numerous times in the New Testament scriptures that we have. And one of those times, that verse 11 there, Paul quotes Isaiah in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And in 2 Corinthians 6, Paul writes this. with Isaiah, part of Isaiah in it. He says this, and this should be up on the screen. Good. He says, do not be yoked together with unbelievers. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? What harmony is there between Christ and Belial, which is another name for Satan? Or what does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, and there's the quote from Isaiah, come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father to you, and you will be... my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. So Paul is telling these Corinthian Christians here, listen, I don't want you to get married to unbelievers. I don't want you to enter into a business partnership with non-Christians because they have totally, you guys have totally different values. You are sold out to Jesus. And so he's telling you, you come out from them. Don't be yoked together with them. He's telling them, because you come out from them, you live differently than the rest of the world around you, is what he's saying. And so what Isaiah is telling the people in exile here, listen, God is coming soon. God is going to free you. You're going to be returning to Jerusalem. Get ready. Get ready for that. But it's not just a get ready physically. It's not just a get ready physically. It's a get ready spiritually. Get ready morally. Get ready by the way that you live your life. So separate yourself from other people in the land. Don't act like they do. In the midst of the Babylonians, Isaiah, God is telling his people, don't act like the Babylonians. Don't adopt their practices. Don't adopt their ideas. And he's saying, we are the people of God. We are to act differently. And so we need to be ready. We need to be up on that. A couple of years ago, Diana and I took a trip to Alaska. Part of that Alaska, we did a couple day cruise in order to get to where we were going. And one of the excursions was to, you leave the cruise, you get on a bus and you drive to this Mendenhall Glacier. I got to see my first glacier. It was awesome. And so it's about a 3 hour, you know, you're on a jaunt for 3 hours, and they say, hey, be back at the bus at 2:30 so we can leave and go back to the ship. Now that kind of always freaks me out, you know, something like that, because I want to get back early. Because I'm the kind of guy that, you know, like right before I head back, I would drop my phone down the sewer grate or something, or I'd twist my ankle and I'd limp back and I wouldn't have enough time. So I kind of start heading back early. So we get back on the bus, you know, at 2:30, and the bus driver's like, okay, everybody here, you know. And there's some ladies right beside us that are saying, there are some ladies in front of us that are not here. And Diane and I were looking, oh, yeah, remember those ladies? And it's like, yeah, not everybody's here. And the bus driver's like, it's 2:30. You need to get back to the cruise ship. You can't stall the cruise ship. You're just not going to wait for it. And so the whole idea was like, wow, you need to be ready, right? You need to be back to the bus. And Jesus told numerous parables to his disciples and followers about being ready in the kingdom of God. Because in the future, he's saying, listen, there's this grand event that's going to occur, this banquet, this wedding, the master's going to return home. And he says, listen, if you're not ready, you're going to miss out. You're going to miss out. And so Jesus taught his followers, listen, don't get so wrapped up in the things of the world. Don't be distracted by lesser things, and pay attention, make it a priority, the things of God. Otherwise, you're going to miss it. So he says, be ready. And part of the lesson is you be ready with your using your talents and your gifts and abilities. You get ready by serving and loving other people and improving your relationship with God and by doing things for the kingdom. Because if not, you are going to miss out on God's blessings. on God's party, on God's banquet, on God's feast, on that abundant life that Jesus has placed before us. We can miss out. A number of years ago, we had a family in our church. And the woman's father had died. And she did not, let me just say, she didn't handle it well. She got angry at God. And all of a sudden after that, we didn't see the family in church anymore. And they just hadn't ever come back. Here was a big spiritual event in her life. And she wasn't ready when it occurred. There are times of crisis in our lives. There are big spiritual events that occur in our lives, and that could be a cancer diagnosis. That could be a problem with your children or our children that go through divorce. It could be a job loss. It could be a relationship breakup. And the question that Jesus has for us is that, will you be ready when that thing hits? And so Jesus calls for us to be ready to keep our faith fresh so that we don't miss out on God's presence during that time or that God's blessing during that time. And Jesus wants us to be ready so that we can fully experience the abundant life he has for us right now and to have a faith deep enough to survive the challenges in life. So how do we get prepared? How do we prepare ourselves for that next big spiritual event when it comes? What do we have to do to make sure that we're ready? Number one is this. You have to review your invitation. Review your invitation. See yourself as God sees you. This is crucial. If you notice in verse 52 that we read in Isaiah, how God describing his people, he's describing how he sees them. You're wearing garments of splendor, which means they're dressed like a bride. They're dressed like a bride. They look so good. In fact, in the New Testament, how is often the church described? As the bride of Christ. So in God's eyes, we look pretty good, right? He describes them as being enthroned, Jerusalem enthroned. There's a sense of royalty. Peter writes in the New Testament that we are a royal priesthood. He says in Isaiah 52, without money you will be redeemed, which means you're beyond price. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And then verses 4 and verses 6, he refers to Israel as my people. God loves his children. And we understand that, those of us who are parents, we understand what it means to love children, don't we? And then all of a sudden, grandchildren come along. Oh, that's a game changer. That's a game changer. Look at that. That's my latest one, right? And the reason why that's so special is because now the youngest one has learned to smile for the camera. You know, and so like I have this now on my phone and I'm working. I looked at, you just melt, right? It's just so awesome. Think for a minute that if God had a phone, your picture would be on it. That if God had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it and your accomplishments would be on it. Greg spent some time with me today in prayer. God takes great delight in us. The Apostle Paul wrote about this in Ephesians when he said this, and look at all the words he uses. God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. God is not ticked off at you. God wants the pleasure of hanging out with his children. And so one of the ways we get ready, one of the ways that we get prepared for God is that we need to understand how God views us. And what Isaiah is kind of saying here is, listen, wake up. You are valued. You are precious. I'm coming for you. There's going to be a party, and I want you to be ready when I arrive. Whenever I take somebody hiking with me, I kind of go through this mental checklist of things that they need to, if you're going to come along with me, you need to be prepared. Certain things, you know, you got an extra coat? Oh, no, I hadn't thought about it. Well, that's going to get cool a little bit later on. You got water, make sure your water bottle. Oh, just one bottle? Why don't you take two, all right? Got a hat, it's going to be sunny, right? It might rain, so you got a rain jacket, right? And so you can't wear that, can't wear flip-flops, I'm sorry. You know, got better shoes on. And so listen, you know, I tell them all these things because I want people to be prepared when we go hiking, because I've been along with folks. I learned to do that because I've been along with folks when they're sucking their last water, their only water bottle, and they're like, oh, man, I wish you brought some more. Okay, I got some, you know, that sort of thing. The whole idea is you want to be prepared. And so item number two that we get to be prepared to get ready is you need to pack your bags and dress appropriately. Verse 11, in Isaiah, he says, touch no unclean thing, come out from it and be pure, and you who carry the articles of the Lord's house. There's another call here to get ready to live pure lives, he's saying. And the Apostle Paul describes often living holy and pure lives. He uses the whole metaphor of putting on a set of clothes, okay? In Colossians chapter 3, here's what Paul writes. He says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other. Oh, church, did you hear that one? Bear with each other. And forgive one another. It's one of the clothes we are to put on. You know, there's some articles of clothing that just we don't wear because they don't look good on us. That's a hard one to make look good on us, but to bear with one another is one of the articles of clothing that we are to wear. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. 1 Peter chapter 5, Peter says, all of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. And so one of the ways that we get ready and stay prepared for God's party and God's abundance is by making these things a part of our regular lifestyle. These aren't just something for the extra. It's something for the pastor to do or the deacons or that holy person. It's for all of us. I tend to be an on-time person. I'm generally on time. If you come and pick me up and you say you're going to be there at 8 o'clock, I'm going to probably be looking out the window for you. I'm that sort of person, right? Generally on time. If I'm going to pick you up at 8 o'clock, I'm probably going to be there at 8 o'clock. I've picked people up at 8 o'clock already, and they're like, open the door, and, oh, I can come on in. I haven't had breakfast yet. You know, it's just like, what did I bust my rear end to get here, you know, what do you, you know, and like, hey, can you come help me move 9 o'clock on Saturday morning? Yeah, I'll do that, make some time in my schedule. And I've gone there, and it's like, there's not even stuff in boxes. I'm like, what, you know, people just aren't ready. Here's number three, stay alert, your ride is on its way, make following Jesus a priority. That's how we get ready. We make following Jesus a priority. Notice in verse 1 of Isaiah 52, awake, awake, Zion. Verse 11, depart, depart, go out from there, leave those people. If you want to stay alert, want to stay awake, if you don't want to miss out what God is offering in life, make Jesus a priority. Jesus told his disciples, Matthew chapter 16, this is one of the heaviest things that Jesus put on his followers. We read this, and Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves. That goes totally against what our culture does here in the West. You need to understand it. Jesus says, deny yourselves. That means that I don't run my life. Jesus runs my life. I'm going to run everything by him and through him before I make decisions. Jesus, that's what it means to deny myself. And take up their cross. When you took up your cross, you were going to die. And so Jesus is saying, this is a lifelong decision that you're going to make. This isn't just a, you know, you're sad and depressed and this will get you over the hump and then you can do whatever you want to do. And then he says, follow me. What does it mean to follow Jesus? He has a whole bunch of teachings in here that he wants us to follow him to. And they're challenging. They're deep and they're crazy. We're like, what? But he says, follow me. That's what it means to be my disciple. That's what it means to make me a priority in your life. And Jesus says, listen, I'm the answer to getting the most out of life. He said in verse 25, whoever wants to save their life will lose it. If you're trying to get the most out of life on your own, you're never going to get there. But whoever loses their life for me, making me the priority, then you're going to find out what life, what true life is all about. Then you'll be blessed. Then you'll get to experience God's party. In the end, and right here. My wife will get a kick out of this. One of the places where I like to go and have dinner is Crescent Inn. She'll just roll her eyes at that. But when I go to Crescent Inn, 9 out of 10 times when I go to Crescent Inn, what will I order? Hamburger steak. Hamburger steak, right? Love the hamburger steak at Crescent Inn. And I just love it. It's good, nice. Mashed potatoes and gravy, green beans, or mixed vegetables. This is great. And when they come and they take my order, they always ask, you know, would you like gravy and onions with that? Yes, please. Right? You know, just gravy and onions. I mean, it's a great. But here's the whole deal with that. Too many Christians live their life and treat Jesus like he is the gravy and onions on the hamburger and steak. Like he's just an extra. Okay? Kind of like when you go to Papa Jim's and you get ice cream and they say, oh, would you like a whipped cream and a cherry? And you say, yes. And so a lot of people look at Jesus as the extra in life. I've got a pretty good life the way it is, but yeah, let's bring Jesus in because you know why? Whenever I have a difficult time, I can go to Jesus. Or I invite Jesus into my heart. I know I can live my life however I want, but I know I'm going to heaven, and so Jesus is the extra. Here's the deal. Jesus didn't come to be the extra. He came to be this hamburger steak. He is the meat, okay? He is the main course. He is the priority. That is what he calls us to be. And when he is the priority, we'll get the most out of life. Number 4, while you're waiting, carry on with dignity and decorum. Act like Jesus. Act like Jesus. Verse 12 says, but you will not leave in haste or go in flight. Now, as Isaiah is writing that, he's referring back to the Exodus. If you remember the Exodus, remember the movie Ten Commandments and Moses and Charlton Heston, when they were waiting on the last night before they left Egypt and the death cloud came upon them, the last plague, they were told to, you've got to be ready to leave in a moment's notice, right? So, you be packed. Be all packed and ready to go. Order fast food. Don't cook anything. Just, you want to be ready to go when God says to go, when Pharaoh, boom, says go. And so, you left in a hurry, you were fleeing, right? But here, what Isaiah said, listen, you come out, And you're going to go. He's not talking about leaving physically, but leaving that old way of living and that old lifestyle, because now we're to come out. Now we are children of God. We are children of God, and so we walk around wherever we are in dignity and decorum because we are royalty. And we are dressed. We've been adopted. We are the children of God. We are been redeemed.
And so we walk out in the world knowing that that's who I am. This is who I am. I'm a child of God. Doggone it. Right? I don't care what's going on out there. I'm a child. I'm loved. I've been adopted. God thinks the world of me. When I go to airports always intimidate me. Especially when I've been to the ones overseas, they really intimidate me because then things are in a different language, right? And so I'm always scared, like I'm at the right gate, but there's nobody here. So is this really the right gate? You know, and I'm afraid to take a nap in an airport. Oh my gosh, right? Because then I'm going to wake up and find out that my flight is gone or that somebody stole my something or whatever. And so it always intimidates me. But, you know who always looks good at airports? Always looks good at airports are pilots and stewardesses, right? First of all, they look good. I mean, they're dressed, they're uniforms, and they are just, they have their luggage, and they're smiling and talking, and they're like, they know where they're going. They know where they're going. They know what time the plane leaves. They've been there. They're just so accustomed. They're so confident, right? When we are to live our lives as children of God, we know where we're going. We know who we are. We're God's children. This world, we're just kind of passing through, right? And so when stuff happens to us, we don't have to wig out because we know who we are and where we're going and that God is in control. Number five, God is driving. He's in control. The last word of encouragement from Isaiah in verse 12, for the Lord will go before you, the God of Israel will be your rear guard. And so as we get ready and as we prepare ourselves and live out what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ, we know that God is in control and always with us to watch over us. At my, I went to a teaching this past week, and the guy who was doing the teaching mentioned an acronym that is out there, and I've heard of this before, but it's been popped up the past few years, called VUCA. Put that one up there. That one up there? Next one, VUCA. Anybody know what VUCA means? Some of you may know. It comes from the Army War College to describe sometimes situations in war. And it stands for a couple different things. It stands for volatile, okay? The change is rapid and unpredictable in its nature and extent. Uncertain. The present is unclear. The future is uncertain. Complex, there are many different interconnected factors that are coming into play and with the potential to cause chaos and confusion. And finally, ambiguous, there's a lack of clarity or awareness about the situation. If you think about our world today, one of the ways to describe it is VUCA, with all these changes that are going on. But the big question for us is this, how are we going to react to this world of VUCA that we live in? We're not called to hide and to be fearful. We're not called to just latch on to anybody because they look like they can maintain control in this world. That's not what we're called to do. Isaiah is encouraging us to wake up and get ready. And we do that by following Jesus and making him a priority in our lives. Would you bow your heads with me, please? I just want you to think about how you might do that in this week. I know that we have all done that before. We had made commitments to Jesus, made him a priority in our life. But time goes on, and then there's another area of our life where maybe we would just openly admit that Jesus does not rule over that area. Jesus is not a priority in that area of my life. Maybe this is just an opportunity for you to confess that and make a commitment to turn that area of life over to Jesus.
Perhaps you're here today and this whole thing about following Jesus is new to you. And I just invite you to just where you are, you tell God that you are ready to get off the throne of your life and you're ready to put Jesus on the throne of your life. I'll give you some time of silence to do that right where you are right now. Father God, we thank you for loving us, for adopting us as children into your family. We thank you that you have extended us an offer to live life, live an incredible life here on this earth. Just like Jesus said, I came that you can have life, more and better life than you ever dreamed of. But Lord, help us to understand that only comes when we make Jesus a priority in our life. So, Lord, help us to do that this week. Show us, as the week goes on, the changes that we need to make. Give us the courage to follow through and to always remember that, God, you go before us and that you bring up the rear guard. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.